In the beginning, there were keyboards, and that was pretty much the only way that we could interact with our technology. Later on came something a little bit more interesting and modern sounding, which is interacting with our GUIs, or graphical user interfaces, with mice, or what we call a mouse. Then there was, of course, gesture control, and then air gestures. Who would have ever thought of something as crazy as controlling your technology with your mind? Well, Elon Musk, and we're going to get into that in today's episode of Cyber Ethiopia. Once again, I'm JP, aka Jason Peters, here with your Cyber Ethiopia tech news update on 104.7 EBC Radio. We're also going to be getting into some other interesting things like censorship in the modern age on all of these digital platforms, how it's looking and what's being done. We're going to get into all of that and even get into a little bit of cybersecurity today. I'm going to tell you guys some things that you need to know when handling your bank accounts, be it CBE Birr or any of these new money forms that we're using on our phones, some security advice, because I'm hearing a lot of complaints from people with regard to that. But before we get into all of that, let's start off today with a track to get you guys in the mood. It is The Outfield with Your Love.
Never keep it under cover. I just wanna use your love tonight. Call me this designer. I got sweet insiders, like the Peaky Blinders, like the maddest bikers, like the PC drivers. Switch the lights on, champion the house boys. Cyber is his life source, you can never get bored. Sit across the jet store, all the knowledge we pour. Crash course, yeah. Crash course. Cyber Ethiopia with JP. JP.
Back on the other side of that track, by the way, a lot of my musical tastes are older tracks. I'm not really a fan of the stuff that people call music these days. So on this segment, you're always going to hear the cool old stuff. 70s, some 60s, and a lot of 80s. Right now, though, our first story is Elon Musk and the controversy that's actually going around Neuralink. So Neuralink, for those of you who didn't know, is one of Elon Musk's companies, along with, of course, SpaceX, Tesla, and all the other cool brands that he has basically encompassed. But now with Neuralink, he's getting some backlash from scientists. And I think that it's well-deserved because this is actually a crazy project. So basically, just to give you a sum up before we get into the complaints, Neuralink is basically what they're trying to do is take a chip, put it in the brain so that all of your neural waves can control your technology, be it your computer, smartphone, or whatever else it can be linked to, kind of like a Bluetooth for your brain. But there's also a lot of concerns because if usually with these kind of radio frequencies, things go both ways. You know how you can actually control what track you're listening to or answer calls by pushing the button on your Bluetooth. So that means that somehow your technology can also control you. And if it's put in your brain by a company, and we've seen companies like Facebook start taking advantage of the fact that people trusted them, what does that say could happen when it's in your brain? So in a new interview with the conservative and satire website, the Babylon Bee, Tesla and SpaceX CEO Elon Musk took a stab at the concept of the metaverse and the quirky virtual world that Facebook's becoming well known for, and just in short being called Meta as opposed to metaverse. So he goes on to say, "Am I one of those people dismissing the internet in the 1995s? As some kind of fad or something that was never going to amount to anything." He then went on to say that surely it's very easy to put a TV on your nose. He basically stopped outright in this interview and said that Metaverse is boring and it sucks and Neuralink will be way better. So that got me thinking, what are people saying about Neuralink? Because the first time I heard about it, it initially started out as a project that was supposed to work to give people who have suffered some kind of spinal injury reuse of their arms and legs. That sounded to me like a brilliant idea if it could resend the neurological signals that could get someone who's been paralyzed to use their arms or legs again. That's pretty cool. But to be able to control your smartphone, do we really need to get any lazier with our technology? It seems like a lot of people think so, and Elon Musk is one of them. So I started doing research into what scientists think of Neuralink, and this is what I found. The website futurism.com has information about what scientists are starting to call their express for concern over Elon Musk's brain chip, Neuralink. While Tesla CEO Elon Musk believes that his brain-computer interface startup, also known as Neuralink, is the future of human interactions with technology, many of the experts would beg to differ. And researchers and scientists have spoken to the Daily Beast just last week to express horrors, absolute horrors, and being terrified at the concept of Musk's goal to connect human beings to computers. Ultimately, at the heart of their trepidation is basically the infusion of big tech with the human mind, which could definitely be a dangerous thing. One of the scientists who is actually working in one of the universities that deals with this kind of stuff, the University of Wisconsin, Dr. Carla, has this to say: "I don't think that there is sufficient public disclosure on what the big picture implications of this kind of technology becoming available are." And she is actually an assistant professor at the Medical History and Bioethics of University of Wisconsin. So that is a deep concern, especially given the fact that she is someone from bioethics, which deals with the ethical biological practice. So having said that, there's also further things that she and some of her colleagues have had to say. She says, I worry that there is just an uncomfortable marriage between the company that is for profit and the end user's mind, which is definitely a big concern. So in the beginning, when Facebook first came out, nobody could understand how they were going to make money until they started selling all of our data. What are companies like Neuralink going to be selling? Our mental thoughts, access to our brains? Could we be standing waiting for a taxi in Bole and all of a sudden an ad starts playing and we can't see anything? Kind of scary. What exactly is he planning? How would the money-making element come in long-term? Because if he was actually to charge us for the chips, the price would be insane. I like technology, but I don't think I'm ready to allow Elon Musk or anybody else put something in my brain. That's just me. I'll let you guys think about how you feel about it while we get into our next track. Our next track is gonna be Alice Cooper, Poison.
Thank you.
track. You gotta love the drums and the guitar and all of that with all that good old grandpa music is what most of you young guys out there would probably call it. But hey, I don't care. It's the kind of music that I like and it's what you're gonna get here on Cyber Ethiopia. Now getting into our next story, this is something that I kind of find ironic, especially given the fact that it's usually the Western countries that are telling African countries, Far East Asia, Middle Eastern countries, how to deal with censorship. It wasn't too long ago that Ethiopia was being accused of being one of the most censored media in the world, which I find very funny given the fact that big tech companies like Spotify, as well as Twitter and Facebook, have now basically become the norm of where we get our information. So for example, EBC Radio has a lot of news stories they share on their Facebook page. If Facebook doesn't like what's being said, they can simply remove it and they don't even have to answer to anybody. How is that okay? It really isn't as far as I'm concerned. And freedom of speech means saying whatever you feel and the people who are listening to you gauge how realistic you are. I mean, I could get on the radio and say a bunch of crazy stuff, but it doesn't mean that the people listening have to accept it. If it's crazy, they're most likely going to say it's crazy. But it is now becoming a very common thing that we're seeing where Twitter, Facebook, and all of these big digital companies can decide what we can and cannot see. So for example, with the No More movement, not so long ago, Twitter had started basically removing it from the trending section of its platform, which was completely unfair because they've had more ridiculous things, including the attack on Washington, D.C., that happened when President Orange did that bad tweet idea. So the latest one to do it is Spotify. And it's just become absolutely ridiculous that Spotify, even though Spotify is predominantly music, it's also a place where a lot of podcasts, for example, this one, Cyber Ethiopia is also on Spotify. It's a place where there's a lot of podcasts. And one of the most popular podcasts in the world is the Joe Rogan Experiment. And Spotify has actually been suffering from a lot of different artists who are what I would call mainstream artists, saying that they were going to pull their music from Spotify's platform if they did not suspend Joe Rogan. Why, you may be asking? Well, the main reason is because people like Joe Rogan usually express themselves however they feel, and he has a lot of crazy guests on his podcast. And recently, there's been a lot of stuff being said about COVID-19. This is not exclusive to, of course, Spotify. It's happening all over the place. And even videos that were showing evidence of somewhat of a cover-up in the United States have been removed from firms like YouTube. But with this specific case, it's for the first time brought Spotify to come forth and publish the company's content rules for the first time ever. Spotify has been around for more than 7 years and they are just now posting their law. And that's because of all of this backlash that Spotify has actually been suffering from. What I will actually say and clarify is that Spotify, unlike all of these other platforms that are censoring and basically just removing the content all outright, is doing things a little bit different. Spotify will now add COVID-19 content advisories, just like what TikTok had started doing before it started removing videos altogether, at the bottom, saying something like, click here for accurate information about the COVID pandemic or something like that. To give you a little bit more details on the story, the podcast episodes that discuss COVID-19 following criticism of the platform's handling of controversial content in Joe Rogan Experience podcast section has actually brought an advisory that will actually lead Spotify's COVID-19 hub, which contains credible and up-to-date information about the pandemic. To increase transparency around its treatment of the issue, Spotify is making its COVID-19 content policy and general platform rules publicly available on its site. Spotify says that anyone who wants to break the rules may have the content in question removed altogether, with repeat offenders potentially having their accounts suspended or permanently banned or time banned. So The Verge, which is where I'm getting this news from, obtained their policy ahead of the platform's public release. And if you want to see it, I'm going to leave a copy on Ethiotech News so you guys can see how stringent it is going to be. According to the policy, Spotify also prohibits content that asserts AIDS and COVID-19 or cancer or other serious life-threatening diseases are hoaxes or not real. The platform also bans content that encourages people to purposely get infected with COVID-19 in order to build immunity. So according to Spotify, that's not a good idea. Not so long ago, we had President Trump telling people to get it so that there could be herd immunity. Seems like a double standard in the West. It's always okay when they do it for their own reasons, but whenever anybody else wants to try and do it, it's not welcomed lightly. Having said that, let's take a quick musical break. We're gonna get into another awesome track. Here is Liquido with Play Some Rock.
By the songs that will never disappear, random like the infant, outdated like the old, lying there in aimlessness and listening to The Cure, doing some rehearsal, exercising in the cold, lowering the standard for the six string never rolled, whistling at the girls and saving for the fuel, making plans and knock, knock, knock. Solitude in mind, save me from the boredom of what we disavowed. Encouraged by the sound that was the sweetest one of all, admiring your senses, infected by your tongue. Defenseless, I believed that we'd face anything to come. You innocently told me you'd catch me when I fall, and solemnly we'd knock, knock, knock on wood.
So we're back on the other side of our tracks. That one wasn't actually that old, it was from the 90s, but it is a genre which pretty much doesn't deal with any of the new styles of music. And today we're going to be wrapping up shortly. We're going to get into another track in the middle of the next segment, but now we're actually going to be talking about something which I find very important, because a lot of people are actually contacting me and asking for advice. Either because they're losing online accounts which has valuable information or data on it, or alternatively, people are losing money directly from their bank accounts. Yes, this is happening in Ethiopia. So how is it happening? How are people gaining access? And what exactly should you do about it? Well, let me give you guys a couple of guesses, and I want you all to listen very carefully and let me know if I'm right. I want to hear emails from you guys. I'm going to guess something. So everybody who's listening right now, in at least one of your online passwords or your Wi-Fi passwords, do you have your telephone number? Does it start with 0911? Yeah, you shouldn't be doing that. The next thing is, does it have your date of birth? Shouldn't be doing that either. Does it have your name going forwards or backwards? Shouldn't have that either. So one of the ways that you are getting hacked most likely is something called brute force. So there are different kinds of attacks as far as people hacking your accounts. One of the methods that they use is called brute force. And basically what it does is it uses what they call a word list or a dictionary, which has a large set of basic passwords that people use. 1, 2, 3, 4, A, B, C, D, stuff like that. And it basically starts trying every single one, going down the list to try and see which one actually finally opens up the account. So one way to avoid these kind of things is to use passwords that people that know you can't guess either, because oftentimes a hacker has to have some kind of a start off of information about you. So they either have to have your email address, because let's say, for example, they wanted to get into your Facebook and they need to know what your email is before they can actually put the password in. So it's most likely someone who knows you that's actually doing the hacking. And I've had both ways. I've had people that are victim of hacks and people who want to do hacking contact me. I've had people contact me and say, hey, I want to hack so-and-so. First thing that I got to say is, if you don't trust your wife or girlfriend, you shouldn't be with them. Don't ask people how to hack their accounts. It's just not cool. How would you feel if someone could read all of your private messages in Facebook or in one of your mailing apps? That's just not right. Everybody should have their access to privacy. So having said that, the next thing that you need to do is never, and this goes for everybody who has a smartphone, be it Apple, because I know a lot of Apple users think that it's 100% safe, but it's not. Never, ever, ever install apps from a source that you don't know unless you trust them. So there are examples that you can accept. For example, I do provide pay software that we can't buy here because we don't have credit cards through my Telegram channel. So places like that, people that you know are not going to do anything volatile or go against you is okay. But if it's someone off the street who you've just met or something like that, you should never install any kind of app whatsoever that someone gives you, especially if, and here comes the most important part, is if the APK or file that you're going to be installing is less than a megabyte. Most of the time, these hackers are very lazy, and I've seen this being done in a lot of Ethiopian Telegram channels. So all of those Telegram channels that sell shoes and like weight gainers, protein shakes, and all of those things also have people usually doing what I like to call social engineering. What they're doing is basically exploiting what people want. So a lot of people want to have free internet. So they'll say free internet app or something, and they'll upload the file. And it's usually a .apk file, which is installable on Android. And it's usually 200 to 300 kilobytes. Think about it. The smallest app that you have in your phone is at least 5 megabytes. So don't install anything that the whole app is just a couple of kilobytes. It's probably a virus or some kind of backdoor Trojan. We're gonna get into more tips on the other side of a track. Up next, we're gonna be going into The Cores with Summer Sunshine.
Yeah.
So another awesome track. So just to continue how I want you guys to all keep your bank accounts and your phones safe, the next thing that I gotta say is make sure that you do periodic scans as well as security updates. I've seen a lot of people that I've either come across or they've asked me to look at their phone because there's something wrong with it. I've always seen that notification in the top bar. And as soon as I pull it down and look at it, it says security update paused. So as soon as your phone says an update is ready, depending on what it is, if it's an operating system update, you can let it slide. But if it says security update, whatever phone you're on, you should always install those. Because basically what a security update is whenever hackers are trying to get into your phones or your computers or whatever technological device we're talking about, what they do is they look for what they call exploits. So sometimes when the developers of these operating systems get really busy and trying to roll out their next update really quickly, they leave a bug or an exploit there. And that allows hackers to get into your system without you even knowing. So what I would advise you to all do is make sure that you install those. The next tip is a very simple one. If you're using an Android phone, go into your Play Store and download an application called Malwarebytes. It is the best free software scanner that I have seen. It will find any kind of malware that is on your phone. So the next thing that I advise all of you to do, because a lot of people are getting their Telegram accounts stolen these past couple of days and getting hacked into, and people are reading their messages and basically threatening. I've heard people being blackmailed. I don't know what exactly they're talking about that would be enough for them to be blackmailed. But in your Telegram settings, if you open up your app, you will see the three lines at the top left-hand corner. When you push them, you will see your name, followed by new group, contacts, call, settings. Go into settings, and once you're there, you will see an option which says devices. Click on it. And if there is a device listed below, which is not your phone or your computer or any other device that you've logged in, you want to click on that terminate all other sessions. Most likely someone has logged in. How do they do this? Well, if someone has your number and they install Telegram and they try to activate it, it's already going to ask them what your code is. And if you somehow are mistaken or fooled, because a lot of people that I am talking to that have this problem have actually been tricked, someone will rename their account to Telegram, put the Telegram logo up, and say, send your security code, you may have been hacked. People get scared and they send their security code, and voila, they have access to your Telegram. So these are things that you should all take care of. If you have any requests that you would like me to deal with, as always, you can send me an email on info@ethio-tech.com, and I will be happy to reply to any questions that you have, be it about technology, security, or even helping you get maybe an account that you've had hacked back, if it is possible. Which reminds me, one final tech tip before we go. When you sign up for a new account and you put in your password and you put in your username and it asks you for your telephone number, don't use a telephone number that you don't have access to. Because if you do, when you try to recover that account when you've lost it because either you got hacked or because you forgot your password, you can't do it because you don't have access to the telephone number that you put in there. And it also asks you for a secondary email account. Make sure that the one that you put in is real, that it's yours, and that you have access to it. That about wraps up today's episode of Cyber Ethiopia with me, JP. Hope you guys enjoyed all of the tech news as well as the tips that we had. Until next time, have a wonderful remainder of the day and week. We'll be back next Monday, and I'm gonna say goodbye with a track. Here's Valentine from Belinda Carlisle. Bye. Getting my feet back on the ground.
Call me this designer. I got sweet insiders, like the Peaky Blinders, like the maddest bikers, like the PC drivers. Switch the lights on, champion in the house, boy. Cyber is his life source, you can never get bored. Sit across the jet store, all the knowledge we pour. Crash course, yeah, crash course. Cyber Ethiopia, with JP, with JP, JV, JP, with JP,